248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A dangerous storm is sweeping parts of the nation with severe thunderstorm warnings and 70-mile-an-hour winds just coming in for parts of southeastern Alabama. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
There is a risk for not just tornadoes, but ones that could be strong or violent in nature, ones that could be on the ground for a long period of time, and ones that will be happening all during the cover of darkness.
Parts of the Midwest expecting a foot or more of snow. The concern in the Northeast, torrential rain, along with coastal and river flooding. New developments in the case of the plane door that ripped off an Alaska Airlines flight over Oregon Friday night, landing in the backyard of a high school teacher near Portland. CBS's Jared Hill has an update.
Federal investigators are trying to figure out what happened to the bolts that were supposed to hold the door plug in place.
We have not yet recovered the four bolts that restrain it from its vertical movement, and we have not yet determined if they existed there.
The NTSB's Clint Cruikshanks, Boeing's 737 MAX line, still grounded. Donald Trump is expected to be in court in Washington, D.C. today when his legal team argues an elections interference case should be dismissed. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
Former President Trump's team is going to argue he can't be prosecuted in his 2020 election conspiracy criminal case because he enjoys presidential immunity. That you can't be prosecuted for official acts in office. Special Counsel Jack Smith calls that a baseless argument that would give future presidents license to break the law. Either way, it could impact his March 4th trial date.
Secretary of State Blinken is in Israel, hoping to prevent the war with Hamas from widening. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Israel continued its intense bombing of Gaza overnight, but has indicated it's entering a new phase of the war. Blinken called it incredibly challenging times, but he's been traveling through the region, meeting with Arab leaders, and hoped to relay their thoughts to Israeli officials on a post-war Gaza.
It's nice to be home when you're sick. Now researchers say it may actually help the healing process. Here's CBS's Natalie Brand.
A new study finds that hospital-level care at home is an effective way to treat patients suffering from various issues, including heart failure, pulmonary disease, and cancer. Researchers from Mass General Brigham found low rates of mortality, less use of skilled nursing facilities, and less need for escalation when patients were taken care of at home instead of in the hospital.
Waiting to hear about a mortgage? May have to wait some more. Loan Depot says it's been hit with a cyber attack that's delayed loan processing and phone service. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is under a winter storm watch. The heaviest snow is expected in the south and east from the Illinois border to Door County. Places like Milwaukee and Madison might get as much as 11 inches of snow. Green Bay could get a foot. Forecasters say it will be windy, too. Wisconsin Republicans introduced their bill to legalize medical marijuana on Monday. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells WISN-TV's Up Front he doesn't want to go down the path to legalizing recreational pot.
We have way too many drugs. We just went through a huge opioid crisis. The last thing that we need is marijuana shops on every street corner of every small town in Wisconsin, like we're seeing in Michigan and Illinois. They're not good.
Governor Evers says he would sign a medical marijuana bill into law. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks are in a slump. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are near the top of the Eastern Conference, but last night they suffered their second loss in a row at home. The Utah Jazz with a 132-116 win. Milwaukee's now lost four of their last five games. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, sometimes as a coach you can come in and, you know, you can go bonkers. But I also believe you got to, you know, show them the areas that we got to improve on. At halftime, I showed probably more clips than I usually show, areas where we can, you know, respond.
The Bucks host the Celtics Thursday. They're 3.5 games behind Boston for the top spot in the conference. NFL, it's the Cowboys and the Packers in the wild card playoffs Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur.
We obviously know we have a great challenge in front of us going down to Dallas against a team that they're 8-0 at home this year. They seem to be playing their best ball at home.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We have a winter storm warning that remains in effect through today and into tonight. We're looking at a total of about 4 to 7 inches by the time everything winds down. And the wind will be an issue, too, picking up later today through tonight, creating blowing snow. Conditions will gradually improve late tonight into Wednesday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
On this Tuesday, January 9th, nice to have you along here across the Civic Media Radio Network through the app or through podcast or social media live video feeds. Nice to have you along. We're going to get an update on the weather picture from Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot in just a sec. And then right out of her forecast, we will have our interview with Governor Tony Evers, covering some of the big topics inside the Capitol, as well as kind of the human side of serving as the state's chief executive as he moves now well into a second term. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll meet with our friend Hans Breitenmoser, as well as Deb Haskovec from the Wisconsin Office of Rural Prosperity. We'll talk about the importance of making it easier for rural communities to get connected with resources that can make their hometowns economically strong. Again, that's after our interview with Governor Evers, and that happens after our visit with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, to tell us all about the weather and what's happening with that snowstorm across the state. Brittany, good morning. How's it looking out there?
Good morning, everyone. Not too much falling out there just yet. Everything is just starting. Of course, people are waking up wondering, why did we take the day off? Why is there a snow day? I know the Northland and the Northwoods are pretty jealous that the southern half of the state has a snow day before they got one. It's usually flip-flopped, but here we go. We've got winter storm warnings where the target of the snow is really going to be centered, where you could see anywhere from a half of a foot to potentially double digits near 10 inches. Now that, of course, will be more towards Prairie du Chien and towards Richland Center, Madison, maybe even Janesville as well. So you're going to be the target for the heaviest snowfall. That starts to diminish the further north you go. Obviously, in towards the advisory areas and towards Wausau, Stevens Point, we are looking at about 3 to 5 inches. So it really drastically diminishes the further north you are, but widespread Fox Valley, Lakeshore areas, I would guarantee a good 5 to 8 for you guys. So widespread 5 to 8, Madison area looking at around 10 inches, and the further north you are, it tapers off. In fact, Eau Claire, you're really only looking at a trace to an inch of snowfall. So not too much going on, but if you are going to be hit the hardest, it's a heavy, wet snow. Temperatures are hovering right around the freezing mark. So that means it's heavy and you have a lot of heart attacks that kind of come from that, from overexerting yourself. So if you have any health complications, just pay someone to do it for you. Call up your neighbor. If you have to shovel it though, take your time, take breaks, do it in shifts. That's really just the most important part, is trying to clear that. I know that's a headache for everybody, but if you are hitting the roads, right now we're starting to see them getting snow covered in towards Madison area. La Crosse is reporting around 2 inches of snowfall already. It's only going to get worse throughout this afternoon and evening. That's when the snow ramps up. Winds whipping off Lake Michigan, creating lake effect snow bands as well. So lakeshore areas, you're going to see rain mixing in as your temperatures get a little bit warmer. So you're actually going to see less snowfall throughout the afternoon. While further inland, the temperatures are still colder. That's going to be cranking out lake effect snow bands. And visibility could drop to about a half a mile in some of those. So that, of course, is making treacherous driving conditions. It'll be hard to keep up plowing later this afternoon and into the evening hours as the heavy snow comes down. So the system will kick on out of here overnight and a much calmer day ahead tomorrow. Another shot of snow tomorrow night and then another one Friday before we get hit with the cold.
I was going to say, and then the deep freeze after that. And the main lesson here is because we haven't had much for winter weather is however much or however little you're getting is to drive carefully. Temperatures are hovering right around, you know, that freezing mark across the state. So pardon the cliche, but really you can't be too careful as winter weather resumes all around the state. I would gather.
Absolutely. Take your time, please. And if you have snow tires, I hope you put them on.
Yes. It's a little too late now. There's no pit crew showing up in your garage at this point. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, thank you for the update, Brittany. We appreciate it so much. Let us know if there's anything else we need to know. Otherwise, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Governor Tony Evers, thank you so much for being with us today. It's good to see you.
Good to see you again, Pat. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's take care of several questions all at once as you begin a new year as being governor. So here we go. Number one, governor, settle a dispute between the states. Who was the first to promise to fix the dam roads, you or Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer?
I have to be completely honest. I think it was a tie.
You will not be suing her then for copying from you.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think it was pretty, I know if you'd asked her that question or someone asked her that question, she'd say she led the way. But no, I think it was a tie. And I know she's a Michigan State alum, big time. It was really great to see the Badgers beat the MSU at MSU this year. So Gretchen, what are you going to do about that?
Perfect. Governor, where does up north begin for you? If it's not a highway, maybe a place where when you drive past this place, you immediately feel like you're up north.
Oh, of course, it'd be easy to say Minocqua, but I think up north is a mine thing, and it's less of a road thing. So I'd say anything in the Wausau area and above kind of fits in that category. But, you know, there's folks that live in Madison and Platteville that also have that gestalt part of their world, too. So sometimes it's hard to figure out, but I'd say Wausau for sure.
Absolutely. When you meet fellow governors, what's something that still amuses or confuses them about Wisconsin?
Oh, they somehow think that this is a stark Republican state, and they're wrong. We are a purple state. So yes, it's assumed that I'm governor just because I'm lucky, and not because I had some good ideas or that there are Democrats in the state.
What part of being a teacher is still with you today?
Oh, you know, I always felt the most important part of teaching was listening. I still believe that there's so many good things going on in Wisconsin, and not frankly not all of them are in the Capitol. You probably know that. And so the more I spend out of the Capitol, the better governor I am. So listening.
If you could go back for one semester someplace and teach any class, what would it be, and at what level or location?
Yeah, I'd love to go back to Toma and teach biology. Yeah, that would be great. Sophomores in high school.
Where were you, and what first thought went through your head when you heard the state Supreme Court had struck down the current legislative maps?
Oh, gosh. Where was I? I'm guessing I was on the road someplace. It's a difference maker. Simple as that. We are a purple state. The legislature does not reflect that. We have to have competitive races. Our present legislature does not respond to that. So it is huge. You just think about the issue in the state Senate where there you know, my appointees can't survive. You know, they're get tossed out almost before I appoint them. And so it's a huge thing.
It's funny that you say difference maker, because that's actually in my next couple of questions here. What's the biggest difference maker from President Biden in his first term for Wisconsin?
Oh, gosh, all sorts of issues around infrastructure. The money that we poured in to bring money to people that are getting a broadband, for example. A lot of that money was federal money. Our roads, federal money. Our ability to take care of lead in pipes, water, all those things. If you think about infrastructure, again, think about Joe Biden. Simple as that.
And then for you, what's something you've helped enact so far that you think will be a difference maker for years to come?
Well, a couple of things. One is in this last budget, the issue of shared revenue. I talked about that 3 or 4 or 5 times a day when I was running for re-election. And a lot of this had, frankly, to do with northern Wisconsin. I can remember being in one of the cities in northern Wisconsin, I won't say where it is, where I was talking to the fire chief. He said it's a pretty good sized town for up north. And he said, if the crew's out on an issue, that's it. If somebody needed help after that, they're screwed. And so the bottom line is all the hard work that's done at the local level, we had to step up. That was a major issue for me. We got it accomplished, and I feel really good about that. Do we need to do more? Likely. But it was an absolute most important thing we did.
Will Wisconsin women and their allies turn out this year the way they did in the short term after the Dobbs decision?
Yes, absolutely. We've got a Supreme Court at the national level that obviously doesn't believe that women have that right, and we're being challenged at every step of the way. Yes, they need, men too, frankly, need to be concerned about this, and I anticipate that it'll be one of the major things that bring people to the polls.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll have part two of the interview that we conducted with Governor Tony Evers, a bit more about being governor. And he mentioned that, I gave him, of course, you have to start with, you know, what is up north to you? And while he invoked Wausau and Minocqua, he gives a rather surprising answer as far as favorite road trip, and it is up north. So I'll let you consider that one for a few moments here while we do some sports at 7:17. Let's see, we had the Bucks losing at home last night to the Utah Jazz, 132-113. Bucks were down 30 at the half, even though Giannis had a triple-double of 25 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, but Damian Lillard was out, and it's not a defensive game anymore for this Milwaukee Bucks team. So you're going to give up 132, and without Damian Lillard, you're only going to score 113. It's not going to be a great combination, so they'll have to put it together on Thursday night as they host the Boston Celtics. You'll be able to catch the Bucks games on Civic Media stations in Oshkosh, Richland Center, Amory, Racine, and Park Falls. And in sports, for college sports, the Badger men's basketball team jumped 6 spots from 21 to 15th in the nation. The Marquette men's basketball team dropped from number 7 to 11 after a loss over the weekend. In hockey, both the Badger men and Badger women's hockey teams are now ranked 3rd in the country as they enjoy tremendous seasons. Again, part 2 of our interview with Governor Tony Evers coming up in just about 90 seconds. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday, when you're here, you're up north. Be right back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Badger fans, be there when Wisconsin football returns to Camp Randall Stadium in the fall. Secure your season tickets today and be in the crowd when the Badgers take on Alabama, Oregon, and more big opponents at Camp Randall Stadium in 2024. For more information and to purchase Wisconsin football 2024 season tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Let's do a few more personal ones here. Cheese curds, squeaky or deep fried?
Squeaky.
Do you try to rotate your Wisconsin beers, or do most people see you with one that's more of your go-to brand?
I would say rotating is a good thing. Diversity is good.
If the choice is a really cold beer or a perfectly made old-fashioned?
Beer.
Favorite book you've read in the last year or so?
Oh, God, I read a lot. I read trashy novels on my Kindle. I can't give you an answer.
That's all right.
Trashy novels do not have names that I remember.
At the end of a long day, your go-to for comfort food is what?
Oh, I'd say a Mountain Dew and some cheese curds.
Fish fries. Do you have a favorite kind? Cod, yeah, haddock, perch.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to get perch anymore, but perch certainly is the best.
What movie will you always sit down and watch, even if you come across it when it's halfway done?
That's interesting. I just saw Barbie. I loved it. I want to see it again.
What actor portrays you in the movie about your life story, and does Kathy get a vote into who that'll be?
Oh, my God, never. I can't think of, I can't even begin to answer that question. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Is there an underrated road trip destination in Wisconsin?
Yeah, Florence.
Why Florence?
Florence, Wisconsin. Well, I spent some time up there helping them get through some issues when I was deputy state superintendent. And I get there almost every year because I go to every county, and Florence is Florence County. And there's just, every time I go, I learn something new about that area. And the last time was no excuse. I'm hoping to get up there this summer. Florence, Wisconsin.
What's at stake for Wisconsin in these 2024 elections, especially, say, the Wisconsin economy, if Republicans were to take the White House, the Senate, and the House?
Yeah, we have an extraordinary economy going here in the state of Wisconsin and frankly, our country, too. So I think the economy would suffer significantly. And in addition to that, to put a face to that, I do believe that our ability to succeed as a state does rely on something we haven't solved, and that's a whole issue of child care. As we go forward, if we don't provide some money to those people that do that good work, we're going to lose people out of the workforce to stay home with kids. And we've changed as a country, as a state. We need help in that area. Joe Biden, frankly, helped us in that area. I don't anticipate Donald Trump would. And I also believe we need to have a purple-looking legislature so that we can get something passed here.
Two last ones. This one, tongue firmly in cheek. What's your new secret alternative email address? And would I guess right if I said it was arthurfonzarelli@wisconsin.gov?
That would be wrong, and I'm not telling you which one it is.
And finally, the state of the state is?
State of the state is in good shape. I mean, people, and you know this as well as anybody, all the falderaw that goes on between the Republicans and Democrats, I still sign more bills than I veto, by far. And you think about the things that happened this last election or the last session, there were some really good things that happened. We have more money for affordable housing than we ever had before. And so I think we're in good shape as a state. We just need to have more competitive races.
There is no way I could have been provided a better mix of questions. Thanks to Christina Laurie for helping me put together this little visit. Governor Tony Evers, thank you so much for kicking off the new year with us.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Appreciate it.
And so, again, some of the major issues that he came back to, child care. Mm-hmm. He's been able to put some pandemic relief funds into it, but this is still a huge problem. Yeah. Without any meaningful response from the legislature. And you heard him say, we need more competitive legislative races.
Yeah.
You need those new maps. You need voters to be able to choose who their representatives are going to be. He also, of course, talked up infrastructure, saying, you know, when you think infrastructure, think Joe Biden, yeah. Which is true. It's what all the jobs are going to come from, and, you know, better connections and better transportation. Some of the other interviews that he did over the past couple of days included comments favoring the legalization of marijuana, even this limited Republican bill that was introduced yesterday. And he also said he was not one of those folks that thinks you should try to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. He thinks that just gives him more of the attention that he yeah. wants. But how about that Florence, Wisconsin answer? Yeah. I was not expecting him to say Florence, way up north.
I love that. I just really enjoy that, man. And something he said during the interview that really, you know, I think speaks a lot to Wisconsin is that he didn't say with regard to maps and elections, we need more Democrats, we need to overhaul, we need to kick them out. He said we need more purple. And to mm-hmm. me, that says we need more compromise. We need more working together, because we're not a blue state. We're not a red state. We are, as a people, purple. And we have a lot of differing ideas, and we like to work together and make things happen. And that answer, like, resonated with me. And I like that. It's one of the things I really like about him.
Well, you said it extremely well, that when you're talking to regular folks, they know we're not going to agree yeah. on everything, but we do want to talk things out.
Yeah.
And by talking things out, we sometimes learn things. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been plenty of times, not just as a legislator, but in, you know, wearing other hats, that you really think this is the way I am. This is my position. And then somebody says, well, have you thought about this? Like, no.
No, I
haven't. And I'm glad you told me. Yeah. I don't want to be so rigid in my ideology that I can't say, on further review, you know.
It's okay to say you changed my mind or you gave me new information. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. It's about that new information. We're always trying to get that from one another.
Yeah.
And when you pretend or God forbid, actually believe that you know best 100% of the time and the way you're thinking right now is always right.
Yeah.
That's how we get government that is as dysfunctional as it is.
Yeah. I was at a bar, yeah. a restaurant, and Governor Evers was there for a lunch meeting. And of course, people were talking to me. He was very gracious, shaking hands and taking pictures. And I didn't do anything. I was at the bar having my lunch. But I was wearing a Brewers hoodie and a Brewers hat. And all of a sudden, he just walks up next to me and goes, so what do you think they need to do this season? And I'm like, I think they need to win. But I didn't hail him down. I didn't even make eye contact. I didn't want to bother him. And yeah. he was so just nice, just walked up to me and just start talking about baseball, which is one of my favorite things to do. So mm-hmm. I love that man.
Yeah. It was, again, what you see is what you get
yeah.
out of Tony Evers.
Absolutely.
I've always felt that, and I appreciate that he would spend a little extra time with us. Now, coming up after a brief pause here, we're going to talk to Beth Haskovec from the Office of Rural Prosperity and our friend Hans Brighton Moser. Every couple of weeks or so, we talk about issues that are most important to rural Wisconsin, and not just on the farm, but the rural economy up and down the many smaller main streets that we have across our state. So we'll get into that conversation coming up in just a bit, and then Chad Holmes a little later on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Snow, rain, and wind are sweeping the country. Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen.
We have severe weather that's down across the south with tornadoes occurring and severe thunderstorms across the deep south from east of New Orleans moving over towards the Florida Panhandle.
There are blizzard conditions in the central U.S. and heavy rain expected today in the northeast. Investigators now believe the door that blew off an Alaska Airlines flight may not have been bolted on or bolted on properly. It landed on Bob Sauer's property near Portland, Oregon.
I was pretty surprised and also amazed that that could be happening in my yard.
Donald Trump's expected at court in Washington today to hear arguments on whether he's immune from prosecution for alleged election tampering. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The former president is more than happy, should the appeals court rule that he is not immune from prosecution, to take the case before the Supreme Court and buy even more time.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It doesn't happen a lot in Wisconsin, but it does happen. A small earthquake was detected near Crandon Sunday morning. The Crandon Fire Department posted on Facebook about reports of rumbling and shaking in the area. The U.S. Geological Survey confirms it was a 2.5 magnitude quake. Legislative Republicans are proposing a constitutional amendment to limit diversity efforts in Wisconsin. If passed by two consecutive terms of the legislature and approved by voters, local governments and state agencies would be banned from either discriminating against or giving preferential treatment to anyone on the basis of race, sex, ethnicity, or national origin. Last year, Republicans successfully got the universities of Wisconsin to reclassify dozens of DEI positions. Instead of diversity, equity, and inclusion, GOP lawmakers want all hiring decisions to be based on merit, fairness, and equality. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
We have a winter storm warning that remains in effect through today and into tonight. We're looking at a total of about 4 to 7 inches by the time everything winds down. And the wind will be an issue, too, picking up later today through tonight, creating blowing snow. Conditions will gradually improve late tonight into Wednesday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
The moment you walk into Family Natural Foods, you know you'll have a great experience with excellent customer service. Their knowledgeable staff are welcoming and friendly, happy to help you with any questions or needs you bring in. Have you tried their oils and vinegars yet? You can taste test them before you buy. Some favorites among the gourmet balsamic vinegars include cranberry, date, and apple. Think beyond the salad bowl. These are great on everything from veggies to grilled meats. Family Natural Foods, 910 West Grand Avenue.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, it's a new calendar year, and that means you can get signed up now for all the absentee ballots for the elections of 2024, the one in February, the one in April, the one in August, and the one in November. Then you just get it done at your own pace and don't have to wait in line on any of those election days or have to brave, you know, severe weather that day or plans that come up. Go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. You can sign up there. First, check to make sure you're registered to vote. You put in your name and your birth date. And if you're registered, they give you an option saying, hey, would you like all of the absentee ballots for this year sent to you? And that way, at the appropriate time, it's something like 3-4 weeks before each of those elections, you're going to get your absentee ballot in the mail. You can fill it out there, and then you can either mail it back or bring it into your local clerk's office. So be a participant in Wisconsin democracy in 2024 and head over to myvote.wi.gov. All right, on Tuesdays, occasionally Hans Breitenmoser joins us to talk a bit about rural Wisconsin. We're going to talk about rural prosperity and the rural economy, along with his guest, Beth Haskovec. Hans joins us, a dairy farmer up in Lincoln County. Hans, how are you this morning?
I'm well, Pat. How are you doing?
Great. How was your holiday break?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Some of my nieces have small children now, so we got little kids, you know, coming for Christmas, and that's always fun. Oh, and then we had a surprise group of folks from the Mennonite community came and caroled at our door too. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, that's great.
Really cool. Really
and
cool.
And I'm sorry, I meant to say holiday season, not holiday break. And thank you for not jumping down my throat and going, farmers never take a break. We never get a day off because, you know, you don't. But at least you got a little time off with family. So that's absolutely, that's a wonderful thing. How are you doing with the, until today, the relative lack of snow? At what point do a lot of farmers go, we're going to need a little bit more moisture, even in the wintertime?
Yeah, well, you know, as the weather gets weirder, it does give you a little more anxiety about how things are going to turn out in the spring. Of course, we need a nice snow cover to protect the winter wheat and winter rye, and certainly the alfalfa. Alfalfa really suffers if it's not protected by a nice thick layer of snow. So the snow is coming down right now. So I guess we'll just cross our fingers to see that gets protected against winter kill. And as far as soil moisture goes, yeah, that's been such a moving target this year. Of course, spring was super wet and we got in the fields late, and then it just stopped raining all summer long. And then in October, it just seemed like it rained all month. So I don't know. We just got to keep rolling with the punches, Pat.
That's right. And we also have those updates every early morning on some of our Civic Media radio stations with the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke at 5 a.m. You can catch it on Lake Erin Amory, Buzz of the North in Hayward, Oshkosh Air Support, and News from the Center in Richland Center. All right, beyond the farm, we've got an entire rural economy to concentrate on as well to make sure that Wisconsin's overall economy is healthy, Hans. And so that takes us to our guest, Beth Haskovec from the Office of Rural Prosperity. Hans, how did you become aware of that? Lead us into meeting Beth.
Yeah, well, we were both at the Wisconsin Farmers Union annual conference here a couple of weeks ago. And so I thought, given the topics that we talk about every other Tuesday or so, I thought Beth would be a good guest to bring us up to speed on what the Office of Rural Prosperity is and does, and what that means in the, you know, on the ground here out in the countryside.
Well, let's do that now with Beth Haskovec. Beth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you both this morning?
Hey, we're great. So nice to have you here. And I think it seems rather appropriate to have you on just on the heels of our conversation with Governor Evers, because if Hans isn't lying to me, and why would he? You know, I believe the Office of Rural Prosperity is an initiative from the Evers administration. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, exactly, Pat. I was excited to see Governor Evers this morning in his interview. He created the office in 2020, recognizing that there needed to be a rural advocate at the state level focused on being a clearinghouse for rural communities. So helping to advocate for rural across state agencies, being a resource for rural communities, and being able to share with those communities what was available in terms of state support to help them grow and to, you know, get projects done that they want to see happen in their communities.
You know, there's no shortage of
opportunities and resources out there. But again, somebody needs to help navigate all of that. We have had Julie Lassa on a couple of times, my old state Senate colleague, who is now the state director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development branch for Wisconsin. But there's so much more even beyond that. And so, Beth, why? Why are there so many programs and entities geared toward making sure that the rural economy stays healthy?
Well, I think, you know, rural communities are the lifeblood of our state and, you know, really center a lot of important industries like outdoor recreation, for example. I mean, we're talking about snow cover and how important that is, not just for farming, but for outdoor recreation in the state, and making sure that we're investing in the infrastructure that is needed to make sure that our economy can thrive. So there's a ton of resources available, but I think one of the challenges is, you know, a lot of rural communities are working with part-time town clerks or have staff challenges where they just don't have the time. You got it right when you use the word navigator, you know, to navigate those resources. And so I think there's always been a lot of programs that are accessible to rural communities, but that awareness and that ability to really break them down into, you know, something that can be approachable and easy for communities to access has been a barrier. So that's really what we're trying to do is be that coach and that support that can help navigate that and really connect people and bring some of those dollars to rural Wisconsin.
And when you talk about the different types of resources, I mean, just looking at the Office of Rural Prosperity website, ruralwi.com, you see breakdowns there for education resources, healthcare resources, tourism resources, bringing legal services to rural Wisconsin, agricultural resources, and you know, and so much more. Because, like you said, it is a full ecosystem. Hans, you would know as well as anybody, you can have, you may have a healthy farm here or there, but if the town, you know, if that small town, if that main street is nothing but vacant storefronts, it doesn't do your farm a lot of good.
No, not at all. And it's all about that infrastructure, Pat. And you and I have had this conversation on several occasions. I think what Beth's office is doing is good and needed, and it's helpful in the rural economy. And that's just one little way of many ways that we chip away. I shouldn't say it's a little way. I don't mean to dismiss what's going on there. I think it's very important to go at this from all the different angles. And then at the same time, though, our policymakers should be focused on why the rural economies struggle sometimes and why we've lost the infrastructure that we had. And so at the state and certainly at the federal level, we need to talk about antitrust legislation being enforced and so forth, so that we're dealing with the symptoms. But ultimately, it's important for us to get to the root cause. But I think that that the Office of Rural Prosperity and what's going on here in Wisconsin coming out of the Evers administration is very beneficial. Well received, I would say as well.
Mm-hmm. And now, Beth, your own history is very much in line with what you're doing here, even if it isn't directly coming, say, from a farm in Lincoln County. But you definitely bring some important experience to the role.
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up in a community of 5,000, one stoplight in the county. I grew up in the Driftless region, but on the Iowa side of the Mississippi. So that's really what got me into economic development to begin with. The idea that we couldn't keep a clothing store in town and had to drive 45 minutes to an hour to go shopping really shaped me as a young person, as well as all the farm policy in the early 80s that made it more challenging for family farms to thrive. And so that's what took me down the path of economic development. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I really came back to rural development and worked at a national organization that worked across the country to provide access to capital to small businesses in rural communities. So I'm really passionate about making sure that rural communities are aware of and have access to resources, and that we can create projects together that can really help communities thrive.
There was a Blue Ribbon Commission on rural prosperity, on the rural economy. And one of the suggestions in particular I want to highlight, only because I'm sure some folks hear this and think, well, there they go again. It's just all this money. We're just dropping money on everything. And what about some of the other issues, shall we say? For example, our friends on the Republican side of the aisle always talk about, you know, bureaucracy and red tape. Well, in fact, one of the recommendations from the Blue Ribbon Commission says, unleash the full power of communities to innovate and act by updating state laws that restrict local agency. In other words, there is still very much a role for local innovation and local control. And sometimes if state law unintentionally or intentionally gets in the way, you've got to identify those things and remove those barriers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing I love about the Rural Voices report. It was really geared at going out and listening to rural communities and collecting the information to better understand what barriers they face and being able to bring that to state government so people really understood the realities on the ground throughout the state, and especially in the northern part of the state. And so there are so many wonderful recommendations in the Rural Voices report, and that report still serves as our guidebook as an office to better understand how to navigate some of these things and how we can better support rural communities.
And one part of this comes back to the notion of the Wisconsin idea and, you know, reinvesting in the University of Wisconsin, the satellite campuses, the network of community and technical colleges, and all of this. And, you know, this would be for both of you in terms of the Wisconsin idea and using the UW. And we're certainly seeing more, frankly, fiscal, if not philosophical, attacks than ever on the University of Wisconsin system. So I want to ask it this way. Is there still a role for the Wisconsin idea, or is that some relic of the early 20th century and everything should be turned over to the private sector, Beth?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly still a role for the Wisconsin idea and for the ability to support, again, those local initiatives and those ideas from communities. So, you know, that's something that we've invested in. The governor dedicated some ARPA dollars recently to rural entrepreneurship, for example. So we're working closely with UW Extension on a number of programs that help bring additional resources to entrepreneurs throughout the state, including their law clinic and a program called Homegrown that works with small communities to understand how what's working for entrepreneurs and what additional resources are needed, like capital or networking opportunities or access to new markets, would really help rural entrepreneurs grow. Because those small businesses are really the backbone of rural economies.
Yeah, and Hans, I mean, this is not a surprise to you this question, because not only is there a role for the public sector as well as the private sector, but as you've said, even in today's interview, you know, the private sector needs some oversight, or it's not always going to act in the interest of consumers and farmers and others.
Well, for sure. And I think it's a matter of, you know, what you view as the private sector. And if we equate rural businesses, small businesses in small towns like Merrill, Wisconsin, where I'm at, with giant multinational corporations, then our public policy is going to be a little bit goofy. I think having been on the county board here in Lincoln County and been on the oversight committee that looked after UW Extension, you know, I saw firsthand the good work that Extension can do. And so it's got to be this partnership. We all pay tax dollars toward that system. There's no reason why we shouldn't be taking advantage of it in terms of getting knowledge and resources that can help our small businesses up and down Main Street. That's a partnership that works. It's worked for a long time. I don't think it's irrelevant. I think it's very relevant. But what's interesting too, Pat, is that once again, elections matter. In my county, I'm no longer on the county board. Our current county board decided that they didn't want to maintain that partnership with UW Extension, and so they got rid of it. And I think that's very short-sighted, because while local budgets are tight for various reasons, like the governor's interview earlier as far as shared revenue, one of the things that we have to somehow try and figure out how to continue to invest in is Extension.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten into the Thrive Rural Wisconsin program, so we are going to have to continue this conversation with Beth Haskovic and Hans Breitenmoser. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll be back with Chad Holmes next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
There's Chad Holmes now from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. If you're not in the Wausau area to hear his show on Bull Falls Radio from 8 to 10 on weekdays, then head over to the Civic Media app. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Download the app the way that I do. That way I can hear Chad whenever I want. Mr. Holmes, good morning. Uh-oh, I lost him. Let me unmute. Oh, you're the one that's muted. We're playing with two different microphones here up in the Wausau studio right now.
You're the one who's unmuted.
So, yeah, Chad, your StreamYard one here says that you are muted there, so we'll have to figure out how we get you unmuted.
How about that?
There we go. There he is now. How
Chad's
are you?
Chad's in space again.
The thing about this is, like, every fourth time I come on with you, there's something that goes wrong, and I have no idea why.
Chad, can you just scream out, "Hello, Cleveland"?
Hello, Cleveland.
There you go.
Oh. But it's like weird because I bet your people out there are like me that are just so far behind the times on technology.
Are your computer speakers silenced? Like your silence your computer speakers, not the mic itself, but like your computer speakers.
No, speakers are 100%.
All right.
Let's see.
Tech Talk with Pat, Chad, and Greg.
I don't know.
It's just like you're like, yeah.
Nope.
That's okay. Tell us what you got coming on the show today.
Well, we talk about the weather here, of course. And first time here, I drove in here, and it's actually slick. And I think people need to realize that. It's and I've been talking about this for the last number of weeks because nothing frustrates me more than when people are idiots on the road, to be honest with you. It's such a waste. And we've seen this too many times. And the funny thing is, actually, I'm pretty sure you remember too, Pat, back when we were younger here in Wisconsin, that the numbers actually are much better these days, but they're still too high. And I remember back when I was growing up, the incredible number of people that would die on the roads in our state, and it was just amazing. And yeah, we are much, much better now than we were, but it's still something I think that we don't talk about quite as much as we probably should.
Well, I think part of it, too, is especially talking about, the roads up north, is some of us are still old enough to remember the days when it was referred to as Bloody 29, and that Tommy Thompson and many other folks helped champion the effort to make that a four-lane all the way across the state. It has, we'll never know just how many lives it saved going to four lanes. The flip side of that, however, is that does provide more comfort or incentive to some drivers to, drive like crazy people. And that's what we tend to see even on those four-lane roads. And I will say as well,
especially the big trucks. The big trucks think I'm big. I got these big tires. I can cut through anything. And again, I'm not trying to paint all truck drivers with a broad brush, but the ones who are still doing 70 in a 70 with slick roads, y'all got to stop that.
Yeah, exactly. Can you still hear me?
We still have that echo. So yeah, you're still there.
That's okay. I lost it completely, but you're exactly right. Back when I went to school in Eau Claire, I remember going down 29 when it was just two lanes for most of it until like Clark County, and then it would split off a little bit. But you're exactly right.
You drove so much more carefully because you didn't want to cross that center line.
And you remember the incredible length that would be, there'd be one person that was going about the speed limit, and then everybody else would be like 25 cars. It was just asking for a major head-to-toe pile-off. I mean, I remember so many times going back to school after coming back for the weekend, it was like, this is just, we're just waiting for somebody to make a stupid move here.
Yeah, and that's just it. It does. It often only takes one to do it. But to do that, to get on the road like that, a guy like you covering as many sports as you do, this is some good advice from a true road warrior. Are you on the road a lot this week as well?
Actually, I'm lucky that the broadcasts I have are here in town. So I always enjoy that. I tell you, as I get older, back when I was, a young pup, I didn't mind as much going on the road. But nowadays, it says, hey, I'll stay around home, get to bed at a normal time here, and try to get my rest. As an old person, I need to be thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I got to mention, I was listening to your interview with the governor. Since Up North begins in Wausau, according to the man at the top, can I change the name of my show to Up North with Chad Holmes?
Of course, it's not. It's Up North is a generic enough term that can't stop anybody from grabbing it.
Oh, I'm not
going to
steal your name. Come on, I can't do that. You're Mr. Up North. I can't do that.
You hear that, Mr. Up North, Greg?
Mr. Up North. That's not going away any day soon.
You need a name tag. I see you here in a little box.
Welcome,
I know,
Mr. Up North.
And if Flyer Lee were here, she'd be saying, "Well, yeah, with all those flannel and plaid shirts you wear, and blah blah blah." So, yeah, apparently that's something that could stick if I'm not
you
too careful
here.
You
know she said that, she'd be complimenting you. That's how she rolls. She's
yes, of course. Of course, that's exactly how she meant it. The governor said that he would, it was kind of lukewarm, but would probably go along with a Republican plan for very limited legalization of marijuana. And I wonder, Chad, as you talk to folks out there, again, legalization of marijuana is nobody's highest priority. See what I did there? Highest priority. But I've got to think there's this feeling of this plan is like, it's such a big government plan. Like, government will take care of the dispensaries. It's so not in keeping with the, the people who claim to be the party of limited government.
Well, our state representative is Pat Snyder here in Wausau. And he was talking about this just yesterday. And the thing that I take away from this, and I agree with what you just said, but the thing I do take away from this is that it shows what is possible with the new line draw, when they're drawn. Because what this is about is Republicans are actually hearing constituents say that they should be able to have this option. They don't want to do this. They've not wanted to do this for years. But now they're getting a little pressure from constituents. And if you start to get more pressure from constituents because you have more competitive races going on, I think you're going to see more where these folks who have been their feet in the sand for years are going to say, well, we're going to have to give a little bit in order to keep our jobs. And I think that's what I take about this little discussion about a limited amount of medical marijuana.
Couldn't agree more. That suddenly when your job is at stake, you might be a bit more responsive to your constituents. Chad Holmes is heard weekdays 8 to 10 on Bull Falls Radio. Listen up there in Wausau or listen through the app. Chad, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Mr. Bach, have a wonderful time off.
Thank you, sir.
Hope it's so relaxing, and you come back all tan, rested, and ready.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, come back with the batteries recharged at least.
There you go.
All right, there you go. All right. Live from Lake Wasota, this has been Up North News Radio for a Tuesday. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 6.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Large swaths